Now, heading inside the body now, about 40 million people worldwide have what is called type 1 diabetes. These individuals can't make the sugar-controlling hormone insulin, usually because their immune systems have attacked the tissue in the pancreas that normally produces this hormone. As a result, the body cannot regulate blood glucose levels itself, and the person has to regularly measure their blood sugar and then inject artificial insulin to keep their glucose levels stable. This can be inconvenient, uncomfortable, and it can be embarrassing. But if they don't control blood sugar, they risk damaging their eyes, kidneys, and blood vessels, so there's a strong motivation to keep it in check. To help them solve this problem, Joan Taylor at De Montfort University has built a wristwatch-sized, implantable, artificial pancreas with no moving or electrical parts that just uses a clever glucose-sensitive gel packed with insulin to do the job.
At the present time, we're looking at three implant sites. They're all inside the body cavity, near to the liver, with blood vessel access. And that's really important because our real pancreases secrete insulin into the blood supply to the liver, because it's the liver that does the chemistry. It's just that the pancreas is the supplier of the drug. And we want to try and mimic that. So we had an idea that we would produce a chemical substance that was responsive to glucose. So we actually synthesized a polymer, which is in our case a kind of semi-solid plastic. And that substance contains a glucose receptor and a glucose interactor, so that the interactor makes contact with the receptor and can form a lock and key, which unlocks when you add glucose to it. So as glucose floods the polymer, then the polymer becomes much more permeable. And what we did was to build that into a device that holds insulin, so that the insulin is forced to exit through this polymer to reach body fluids, where the same polymer actually senses whether the glucose is high or low and then transmits the insulin either fast or slowly, depending on the need that it discovers on contact with body fluid. So it's completely different. It's not electronic and it's not biological. So because of that, it is actually very fast acting. It doesn't have delays. And because it's not biological, it doesn't need immunosuppression drugs to be given, which is the case with transplanted pancreases.
How far have you got with this so far? Is this just in a dish, or are you actually doing this in animals now?
Well, we did a lot of study over the last 20 years in dishes, but it got to the point where my mentor of many years said to me, do you know, if you're really saying this could be done, you've actually got to prove it. And it occurred to us that there was really no way of proving this with cells in a dish, because what you need here is the device to respond to the biological system in its diabetic state, and that animal or volunteer to respond back. It's an interactive system, so you've got to do it in a live system. So what we've done is to use diabetic pigs, and that work has really pleased us. We're doing well with that.
So you have a pig with diabetes. You implant one of these devices. What happens to the pig?
Well, the pig is quite happy, doesn't feel it. The device itself is about the size of a pocket watch. And once it has recovered from the implant, we watch the blood sugar come down to normal levels. And then what we do is to challenge the pig's diabetic system by giving it large amounts of treats and watching how well the hyperglycemia is controlled. The definition of being not diabetic is that a large burden of glucose should normalize within 2 hours. And in our experience, we have had the normalization happening in less than an hour.
And how much insulin can the device hold? In other words, between top-ups, how long would a potential diabetic be controlled for?
In terms of actual volume, it's about 5 milliliters. But in terms of the time that would control symptoms for, it's about 50 days.
I suppose one risk is that one is walking around with locked away inside this stuff, potentially a life-threatening reservoir of insulin.
You are right there. That's an inherent problem with the design as it presently exists. But we have plans to modify our system so that instead of the insulin reservoir being liquid, it itself will be in gel form. So should the device break, then there wouldn't be an instant leakage of the insulin.
And how long will the device potentially function for? In other words, how long have you taken it out trying this to know that the polymer doesn't degrade, it doesn't break down, and does reliably control blood sugar?
We have kept the gel in a simulated animal fluid for 2 years and it hasn't degraded. What we did was to put it inside a membrane bag, and that bag has pores in it that do not allow enzymes into the gel that would degrade it, doesn't allow bacteria in that would degrade it, but it is large enough to let insulin out. So based on that experiment, we think that the longevity of the gel is at least 2 years. And because the gel is in good shape when we've taken that experiment apart again, we think it should be much longer too.
And in terms of the pathway into the clinic, how far along that road are you?
You have to have a statistical number of animal experiments to show that the treatment is safe and effective. So once we've finished our small number of experiments, we will have to apply for grants to do that larger number. And then once you have that evidence, you might be allowed to take it into phase one clinical trials. So I would think there's 5 years' work there. And then once you've got into phase one, there's another similarly long period before it's actually released onto the public in a bigger way. So quite a long time, I think. But what we hope is that we'll be able to show that this thing actually works, and that even if we don't take it further, it will add to the knowledge out there, and that if we don't, then somebody will take this out into clinic. Its advantages for diabetic sufferers are that not only does it keep the blood glucose steady, which is a major advantage, but that the whole thing is invisible from the outside. And really what we just need now is the facility to develop what we've got.
Amazing project, isn't it? And that will be a godsend for people who do have diabetes. Joan Taylor from De Montfort University was speaking to me earlier in the week.